Welcome back to Semple Stadium. It's an absolute pleasure to be joined here with Liam O'Donoghue, and he's going to chat about his new book, Semple Stadium, Field of Legends, that's just out at the moment. And it traces this famous place where we are right now from the start, really, of the GAA at Hayes' Hotel in 1884 to the present day. And this has been central, Liam, across the years, across the decades. I have to say, you're the voice of Semple Stadium, and it is wonderful to hear your voice, you know, Shasagi, Le Guin Ushla are talking about how many minutes added time is going to be at the end of a game. Like, tell us about the book or your love for this place, or what inspired the book.
Well, a lot of people ask me, like, I spent over 40 years announcing teams here, introducing teams. Somebody reminded me that I introduced teams through six decades, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the noughties, the teen-ins, and into the 20s. So up to last year, I was announcing the names here. And I suppose my name became familiar with people from coming to the stadium and all that. Back towards the end of 2019, O'Brien Press, that published the book, they were doing a series of books on sports arenas like Lansdowne Road and other venues like that. And somebody linked me with them, and they rang me wondering would I be interested in doing it. So it was coming towards the beginning of COVID and lockdowns and all that when I said I would have a go. And I was really delighted because something to do during COVID, the lockdown was brilliant, particularly this year in January and February, when things were really very depressing in the country. It was great to go back home and dive into what happened in the 30s and 40s and to occupy my mind for hours there, because when I was a younger man, I used to love listening to older men talking hurling, and I'd be listening to them, and I listened to a lot of the tales and the yarns and the exaggerations of the, you know, all the, everything that was told. And then I got a chance to really to research it and get the true story, because there's a huge story here in Semple Stadium. Games being played here since the GA was founded. The GA bought the place, or the Gales, a group of Gales and Thurles bought it in 1910, but the place was a showground before that, and Malise Field before that again. And
but there was an ideal place.
There was always sport here. And the showgrounds didn't go well, and they went bust around 1909, and it went up for sale, and a group of Gales and Thurles got together and bid for it. The local urban council were very anxious to get a graveyard at the time in Thurles, Stephen. The old graveyards in Thurles were getting full up and all that, so they bid for it as well, but couldn't come up with the money at the time. So it didn't become a graveyard, but it became a graveyard of several reputations of people here. Because looking out there now, if you're not fit, if you haven't the skills, you've no business really out on Semple Stadium. You've no place to hide there, and it's a great place if you're ready for it to display all your skills and your fitness and all that. That's the place, because people, hurlers, want to perform where the likes of Christy Ring and Jimmy Doyle and Mick Mackey and all the legends back the years, where they performed and where they made their names and made their reputations.
I found that there's some beautiful photos in the book. That cover as well is just it's just fabulous, with Christy Ring going for the ball against Watford here.
Yeah.
And like the old sports field here, like, you know, without the stand, without all that, you just think of a hot day and the dust rising.
A lot of people remark on the photographs in the book. There are over 600, Stephen, in the book, and there were a lot more submitted that they're rejected. But there's great quality in the photographs. Particularly, people are amazed at the quality of the black and white photographs in the earlier part of the book. The cover photos from the 1962 Munster semi-final, Cork and Waterford here in Thurles, and shows Ned Power flying through the air, catching a ball before the ball comes in between Ring and Tom Cunningham and the Waterford defence there. There's great movement, there's great ferocity, there's real determination. And there's Ned Power flying over them all, way up in the air, grabbing the ball. There's everything that's beautiful about hurling is there, the great determination and the intent of the players.
And like the history in it, like you've Tipperary 1923, first time pulling, I'm looking at here, 1923, the Tramp of Men volunteer training at Turles Sports Ground back in 1914, you know. It goes all the way through two world wars, independence.
Goes right through, yeah, right through all the decades. The first hurling photograph that's in it comes from 1888, is of the invasion team, the team of hurlers that went to America or invaded America in 1888. And the last picture, one of the last photographs in it is of Killadangan winning their county final and the amazing joy and the release of emotion that was here in 2020 when Killadangan won their first county final here and Commercials won the football later on that year.
I think a lot of people remember 84, the Munster final, which is a heartbreak for Tipperary supporters. But the All-Ireland was here in 1984. And then you had that drawn Munster final in 1987, the place just heaving here as well for Tip and Cork and that era. You know, that's an era I suppose a lot of people will remember, that a lot of people have fond memories of here.
That's right. So the Munster final in 84 was a great year for Tipperary people. And Tipperary were going through the famine, but they felt that year that they had something, and they had something, only that we were dashed, our hopes were dashed at the end of the game in 1984. Tip and Cork, we thought we had them, but the twist of fate and Seanie Leary, that name we'll never forget it here in Tipperary. The great writer at the time, Raymond Smith, he said, "It burned to the very marrow of our bones, that defeat that day. We'll never forget it." Powerful. The All-Ireland was played that year here in Thurles as well, and a huge amount of work, and all the big developments that we see out in front of us here this evening go back to that time. Father Pierce Duggan, he was a curate in Upper Church at the time, did an awful lot of work. He was chairman of the Semple Stadium Committee and guided all the development. The stand that we're in at the minute, Stephen, has a link with Upper Church as well. It's the Canaan stand, called after Archbishop Canaan, right, who was a great Upper Church man, a great lover of hurling. That was built in 68. It holds about 16,000 seated, and it's a great thing at the time. It's the longest single concrete stand in Europe.
Wow.
When I started here towards the end of the 70s, looking out, the old stand was the only part that was developed to any kind of a modern standard. All in front of us, looking out where the Killinan end and the town end and the new stand is now, that was all just a green bank, just a raised area for people to gather to see the matches. So they were all developed for the All-Ireland in Thurles in 1983, but that left a huge problem for the GAA in Tipperary, in that it all had to be paid for, and there was a huge bill at the end of it. Even though the celebrations of the centenary were a huge success, it left us with quite a headache here. And I suppose that triggered the Fela concerts.
The Fela, that had a huge impact on so many people. Like, I remember being
very young.
And just adoring the Fela and Thurles. And like, it really was a huge event and a huge time.
There were the biggest rock concerts in Europe at the time. All the major stars that were touring the world at the time were here out in Semple Stadium. And wherever I go, when they hear him from Thurles, they talk hurling to me, or they talk Fela.
Yeah.
A generation of people out there have such fond memories, like you have yourself, the way you mentioned it there. Like we had Meatloaf and Van Morrison and Elvis Costello, the Pogues, Nancy Griffith, Brian Adams, Deacon Blue, the four of us, and huge the Irish stars with Christy Moore, Mary Black, Christy Hennessy. And the Saw Doctors were just coming into their own here, and they really made their name here in Thurles.
Was rocking that era.
That was from 90 to 94. You had huge crowds, you had 30,000 out there. In the book you'll see some great photographs from that time, and the crowds and the stage and all that. It was transformed, and the place was bouncing. I had one of those badges, Access All Areas.
Yeah, well.
And I took full advantage of it, you know. And the opportunity it gave me to go up and to stand on the stage, beside Meatloaf, and the vibration of the place. Jeepers, I was shaking for days after it, you know. It was a fabulous experience at the time. But at the end of the day, by 94, the debt was cleared, and failed. I moved down to Cork then and eventually to Dublin.
There was a one-day one here, was it?
Yeah. There were some one-day ones came back to the end of, towards the end of that decade. But it had done the job, and a big job, you know, in clearing that debt.
Yeah. And the place, I suppose, just went on to a new era then, because you were, you know, you're looking at the early 2000s, those epic Cork and Waterford matches here.
That's
you
right.
The county finals all the years. And then, you know, the arrival of Tip on the big scene again, eventually
right.
in 2009 and 2010.
Funny enough, Stephen, because of teams, counties wanting to play in neutral venues, Tipperary didn't play an awful lot of championship matches here in the stadium. Most of their matches would have been played in the Gaelic grounds in Limerick or in the Athletic grounds in Cork, or which predated Páirc Uí Chaoimh. But
Do you miss those old venues? Did they have a different atmosphere? You know,
they all had their own atmosphere. But that's why in the book, say, I included the club scene, the clubs that won county finals here. They're not all in it. There's a book Jim Fogarty has and the Dan Breen Cup with all those teams in it. But I have a selection of teams that won county finals here and a brief story about their achievement. And it was great. So the club is the grassroots of the association, we're all told.
Yeah.
And it was great to see clubs getting the exposure. The G and Tip FM, you know, and RTE and TG Cahir are giving them at the moment.
It's a new era, I suppose, now in 2021, 2020, streaming started.
That's right.
And it does feel like it is a whole new ball game. We're here on a Friday night waiting for a match here in Turles at 7:30, which is fantastic. And it's brilliant to be here alongside you, because you are that voice, you know, and it is just something that stands out. But it is a new era with streaming. But what's your memories, your standout games or standout moments
here? Well, sure, looking around, like if I look down there at the sideline, that's where Aidan Ryan played the block down the Cork wing back in 91 and headed goalwards,
yeah,
and buried it there to the left of Ger Cunningham, sure. And the whole place erupted. All the Tipperary supporters came in onto the field. There was a fella in a wheelchair, came out of that corner there up and ended up outside in the middle of the field. The celebrations were so great. That was 91. In that goal, so the Kalinan end, that's where John Fenton's famous goal flew past Tommy Quaid in 87 Munster semi-final. Up there as well, Nicky English scored the goal, the kicked goal in the Munster final of 87, the goal that was known as the Maradona goal.
Yeah, remember that one.
It was the only ball that broke inside. Richie Brown was the Cork full-back at the time, and it was, as Nicky says, it was the only decent ball I got, and he had no hurley in his hand. It was down to the feet, and what a wonderful goal he got that day, and the whole place erupted. Down here, just in front of us, that's where Maurice Fitzgerald kicked the famous point against Dublin to draw.
Down here, right?
Just straight here. Yeah. Drove it over the town.
I always thought it was at the far side.
No,
well,
no.
There you go.
We had a great view of it here. And
it's linked to Turles Sarsfields, isn't it? Like I know you're president, vice president now at Turles Sarsfields.
Yeah.
There's a real link there if you're in the Sarsfields clubhouse.
Well, it's all part of the same complex and all that. So all those great days, all those great memories. Raymond Smith, which I mentioned before, his wish was, whether he was bluffing or not, and he could be, because his wish was to die up in the Kalinan end at half-time in a Munster final and to be carried down onto the field, and that later on his ashes would be scattered on Semple Stadium. That was
beautiful.
The great Raymond Smith.
Oh, beautiful.
Over here as well, just in front of us, that's where Paul Flynn took a free in 2004. Waterford were starting to come, and they had Ken McGrath lording it in centre back, and John Milan, I think, was sent off the same day. I think it was the same day he made that great statement, I love me county. Remember that. That's all recorded in the book as well. But Flynn took a free from about 40 yards out here, and whatever way he hit the ball, it codded the rock, Dermot O'Sullivan, full back, and Donal Logan, the goals. It seemed to dip I remember going home, and as I said, I wanted to watch the news because I knew there'd be a bit from the Munster final on it, and there you'd see it. You'd see it was a fabulous goal altogether, you know. And talking of Dermot O'Sullivan, the sight of him catching a ball inside the back line and tearing out and forwards hopping off of him, trying to knock him, much the same as Padraig Maher today. I love those players that can combine strength with skill. They're big men, they're strong men, but they're majestic the way that they can bring it all together. We had Pat Hardigan from Limerick, and the Hendersons of Kilkenny were fabulous backmen. I did all my hurling in the back, the little bit of hurling I did, Stephen. That's why I admire backmen, but guys like yourselves are always given forwards. You know, the highlight of the game, the wonderful things that they do. But I love watching backmen and close, tight play and the way they combine strength and skill and the hook and the block down and all that, rather than always the scoring.
Yeah, you're onto something there, I'd say, as well. Like, you know, it's as a vital a part of it. Well, we're going to be running out of time shortly, but this book is fabulous, and it's available across the county, across the country, Dean.
It's available in all the bookshops in Tipperary and across the country, and it's available online. It can be ordered. It's available worldwide, and there's great reaction to it at the moment, Stephen. People love every page as a memory. When you open the page, it was a day you were there with your father or your cousin or whatever, and it was a wonderful day. It was a day you won something. People, when they hear Semple Stadium, nobody is negative about it. They have a great draw for the place, and it opens so many doors when you say you're doing anything to do with Semple Stadium, because the memories are there, and the book has a memory on every page.
Fabulous. Liam, it's been a pleasure talking to you. The book is out now. Semple Stadium, Field of Legends by Liam O'Donoghue. And you can get a copy of that in any local bookshop. Many thanks, Liam.